This is Dr. XH Balthazar. I am broadcasting once again to present to you my findings from the world of the uncanny. On a previous broadcast, I investigated a case that was presented to me by my dear friend, Dr. Carmen Lane, a psychiatrist at Blooming Rose Mental Hospital in West Virginia. A week ago, I received a note from Dr. Lane that inquired for me to assist in investigating what she referred to as discrepancies in one of her patients' stories. I will now play for you the information I collected on my trip. I'm about half a mile away from the hospital now, and it has been a rather long drive. The hospital stands in an especially deserted area. Perhaps this is because the cries and moans of its inhabitants can be heard from a great distance. I am reporting now after having spoken with Dr. Lane, who asked me not to record her. Dr. Lane informed me that the patient I am here to meet is named Hannah Lyle. A young lady arrived at the hospital just under 2 weeks ago, in gruesome condition. She was not only malnourished and starving, but most seriously, had holes in her shoulders, ankles, and the palms of her hands. Man-made holes. She explained that under proper medical supervision, Hannah has been able to recount her story, but that there is a discrepancy that she would like me to look into. Dr. Lane did not give too many details away, though it is safe to say that my interest has piqued. Hello, Hannah. I am Dr. Balthazar, a friend of Dr. Lane's. Do you mind if I...
I know, Doctor. And yes, you can record the conversation. I don't mind.
Very well. It's quite chilly in here. Should I close the window and let it warm up?
No, I like how the cold bites. There's something nice about being able to withstand it.
Whatever pleases you. In truth, Hannah's appearance was not what I expected. Yes, she appeared malnourished. Her skin seemed to cling only to bone, and her chin was as sharp as a blade. The injuries she had sustained were covered by bandages, but perhaps it was the way she was sitting that struck me. Her back was fully erect, and she sat on the edge of her seat, with legs crossed. I have spoken to many individuals who have undergone harrowing experiences. They often lose themselves. But Hannah did not appear lost. She seemed poised. In fact, she seemed to know exactly who she was. Would you mind telling me a bit about the events that led you here?
I am a ballerina.
Ah, a dancer.
No.
No?
Ballet is not like any other dance. It's not about showcasing your feelings or about what you have to say. No, ballet is about perfection. And everything you work toward is perfection. Perfect body, perfect hair, perfect smile. That is what ballet is.
And when did you first start ballet?
I was 4 when I began. And I was 4 when I knew that it was what I was destined to do with my life. So I never stopped. I grew up in San Francisco, but at the age of 12, I moved to Richmond, Virginia, to attend one of the most prestigious ballet schools in America.
With your family?
Myself. Anyhow, as of late, my priority has been training for the Grand Prix, a competition that takes place once every 3 years. To find the best ballerinas in the world. I began researching my piece 5 months ago. Then I started taking private lessons. Giselle, the ballet, do you know it?
I do not.
It's the story of a girl named Giselle who falls in love with a man, and when he betrays her, she dies from the heartbreak. I'm using a piece from it for my audition.
You like the story?
I like the idea that one could feel so much it could kill them. I don't feel much. Anyhow, They brought in a new teacher for the private lessons. Her name was Ms. Wiglow. Before she even asked me my name, she asked me,
"Are you willing to do whatever it takes to be perfect?"
"Yes." "Where are you going?"
"Leaving."
"Why?"
"You say you are willing to do whatever it takes, and yet you are standing still like a lazy nobody off the street, waiting to be told what to do. Do not stand still. You must never stop moving."
We started at 9 p.m. that night. I did not stop dancing till 9 a.m. the next morning. My body felt things I've never experienced before. Even at her old age, Ms. Wiglow looked like a dancer. But her eyes...
What of them?
There was nothing behind them. We continued on that way for several days. It was Christmas break, so no one would be in the studio all week, except for me, repeating and repeating the variation over and over until Miss Wiglow snapped and began screaming. Told me I was
worthless, lazy, fat, ugly.
"I'm sorry."
"Your apologies are worthless to me."
"What can I do to be better?"
"Better?"
"To be perfect."
"Do you really want that, Hannah?"
"Please." And then the world faded to black. When I came to, I heard the sound of a train racing by. I saw nothing but wood around me. I believe I was in a cabin. Then I saw Ms. Wiglow's face over mine. I couldn't move. It felt like I had been sedated. I must have been naked because I could feel the breeze on my stomach. And then I felt a sharp pain in my hands, my shoulders, my ankles, like daggers cutting me apart. And she said to me,
"Quiet, doll."
And then I felt the strangest sensation, the same breeze I felt on my stomach. I felt now going through me, through my feet, through my hands and my shoulders. I mustered what energy I had and rolled my head to the side just enough to see that there were gaping holes carved into my palm. I moved to the other side and saw the same in my right hand as it had in my left. I tried to scream, but I couldn't. The next thing I remember is I was standing, wearing a tutu, and there were ropes hanging from the ceiling. They were laced through the holes in my body, like a doll.
"Dance!"
I tried to ask her why she was doing this, but she just kept repeating the same thing.
"Perfection!"
I mustered what energy I had and began to move. But every time I lifted my hand just a bit too high, or my foot too fast, ow, the ropes would snap me into the right position. I've never felt such pain in my life. We didn't stop until it was perfect. And then I woke up back in the studio.
What happened?
No one knows how many days I was there because of the break. There was blood leaking from the holes. It was all over the dance floor. But when I told people what had happened, no one had ever heard of Ms. Wiglow, and my parents said that they had never paid for any private lessons. They did, however, find a bloody screwdriver in my locker. They told me I impaled myself with it.
I see.
I now believe it was simply a delusion, a story I made up to justify hurting myself.
After listening to Hannah's story, I went back to speak to Dr. Lane. She told me that one detail in Hannah's tale stuck out to her, the train. Dr. Lane mentioned that she often takes the train out of Virginia to visit family, and has seen an old log cabin hidden behind a swarm of trees. She couldn't quite put her finger on why, but she had a hunch that this was the cabin Hannah had been taken to, and that this Miss Wiglow was very real and very dangerous. She asked me to inquire about it. I could not say no, for hunches often provide the most uncanny truths. When I visited the house the following morning, I found easy entry through an unlocked door, and to my surprise, found that Dr. Lane appeared to be correct. The house was almost empty. The bedroom doors were all closed. And when I opened one, I discovered a most gruesome scene. A girl, dressed up in a tutu, strung up like a marionette, a pool of dried blood underneath her. She was dead and quite decomposed. There were two more, one in each bedroom, one very badly decomposed, and the other quite recent. Perhaps no more than a day, it was just as Hannah had described. But she was lucky. While I waited for the police, I looked around for any clues. I found nothing but a handkerchief on the counter next to a dirty ashtray. The initials MW embroidered in one corner. My only clue. Whoever this woman is, one thing is clear. She is of an extremely evil nature and will be hard to capture. That is all for tonight. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this particularly dark and violent episode. And until next time, I wish you goodbye and good night.